Australian cricket has been plunged into another crisis of its own making, one which could be career-ending for some of our top players. Cameron Bancroft was caught on video tampering with a ball during the third test against South Africa at the weekend. But the plan appears to have been hatched, of course, by Captain Steve Smith, who's been stood aside along with Vice-Captain David Warner. An investigation is underway, but the reaction from former players and commentators, in fact, wall-to-wall politicians as well, has been swift and unforgiving. For more on this, I'm joined by former Australian cricket coach John Buchanan and Jack Anderson, the Professor of Sports Law and from the Court of Arbitration. Welcome to both of you. I'm going to start with you, John. The current Australian team has developed a reputation for arrogance and poor on-field behaviour. Were you surprised by these revelations?
Oh, yes, totally. I think the whole cricket world, obviously, because of the amount of comment that's been directed at the Australian cricket team, both from within Australia and outside Australia. So it's and I think that's why there has been the depth and the passion of the commentary, because it is so amazingly or astonishingly hard to comprehend how and why that decision was made, and certainly made, as it seems, by Stephen Smith as captain with his leadership group, to use illegal means or means of cheating the game, cheating the rules of the game, to try and gain some competitive advantage. So it's just an absolute amazing event.
Jack, how serious an offence is this in the world of cricket? I mean, should he have been sacked on the spot? He's been stood down pending an investigation. But is this kind of a sackable, immediate offence?
Well, first of all, the International Cricket Council has immediately given him a ban, and Bancroft has got what they call demerit points. But what you have now is the head of integrity at Cricket Australia is there conducting an investigation, and they have powers under their code of conduct to deal with the players in question. But I suppose what you've got to, and I know the news cycle operates at a very quick level and all of this, what they have done, Cricket Australia, is to find out exactly what happened, why did it happen, and exactly who was involved. We know generally that the leadership group was involved, although who exactly is members of the leadership group is open to question. So I suppose we're at that point in the investigation whereby we, in a way, we have to let it take place. And I can see and understand why they said to Stephen Smith that he could not leave and should stay, because they want to conduct the investigation as a whole.
John, no doubt it's true that they want to do a thorough investigation and people would respect that process, but he has admitted to this. This isn't sort of some grey zone. He's been quite clear that he was part of this. So it seems like, to many people, quite a clear-cut case, doesn't it?
I would think so. I mean, obviously, Cricket Australia took the initial step to stand both Ian Warner down for the concluding day and a little bit or of the third test match, and then as Jack was just saying, the ICC had stepped in and banned him from the next test match. But look, it does seem inconceivable that Stephen Smith, albeit certainly a youngish leader and someone learning and would seemingly have not made too many errors in judgment off field, should be therefore subject to saying that he should no longer lead his country. But I think the enormity of what he's done in making that poor choice, that poor decision, really does, in a sense, resign him to the fact that his capacity to lead the team will be terminated.
And he said, Steve Smith, he said at a press conference, we saw this as such an important game. In other words, the ends justified the means. What does it say about the culture, John, in the team that they would think that, look, it's such an important game, we've got to win this, so, you know, we'll try and fix it?
Yeah, look, I think, and again, going back to what Jack had said, that there's two very important people that have got a massively important job at the moment, and that's the Commissioner of Integrity and also the General Manager of High Performance, to go in there and actually ask the questions and get the facts. Hopefully everybody within that unit, which is players, coaches and support staff, will answer honestly and courageously where they have to. And with the facts in hand, then it can become very clear on what the next steps should be. And that hopefully will be done within the next 48 hours or less, because they're there now and asking those questions. Because within that dressing room, there will be some who were very supportive of that decision. There will be some who are quite anti that decision, understanding potentially the ramifications, at least within the cricket circles of it. And then there'll be others who were quite ambivalent. So team culture is made up of so many moving parts, and we can't just put one blanket over to say, well, let's have a really good team culture. Let's, you know, it's a toxic team culture and therefore it's an easy fix. It's not an easy fix, and it's not an easy thing to sustain, but certainly to enable a decision to occur like this suggests that everything's not right within that team culture, not right with all the various individuals and systems that intersect that team culture. They're the things that hopefully will, one, will be addressed immediately, but two, long term.
I've got to ask, Jack, an investigation by Cricket Australia is underway, which we're talking about. What will that process involve, and is it really just going to be quite quick?
Well, it has to be quite quick in the context of what's happening now. But in some ways, like all these integrity investigations, it's the who, what, why, where and when, all those very basic questions. I think we have an idea of what happened, and as you say, the players themselves have admitted it. But it's the wider kind of group involvement, the who, which is important. And thereafter, then, the integrity officer makes a recommendation as to disciplinary sanction, and that can go through another process as well. But you've also got to remember that surrounding this, for the players in question, and for Cricket Australia more generally, you've got sponsors looking at this. And for the individual players, we are getting bad vibes from the sponsors about their association with the players. And also Cricket Australia is negotiating a major TV rights deal at the minute. So the timing of this, you know, is important in the wider commercial sense as well.
If you're just tuning in, this is RN Drive, and I'm joined tonight by Professor Jack Anderson and also former cricket coach John Buchanan. John, we're expected to believe that the coach, Darren Lehman, had no idea about this plan, although he's tipped to lose his job anyway. Is it credible he didn't know anything about this?
Look, at the moment, all the facts we have, certainly public facts that we have, is that Steve Smith said that there was a leadership group, and as Jack said, who is that? We're not sure. But the coach, Darren Lehman, was not involved. So that's what we know currently. That's why, again, it's so important that the two gentlemen from Cricket Australia that are over there at the moment really do unearth the exact facts so that the right people and the right actions can be taken, or the right consequences can be directed to the right people.
I've got to ask, John, have you ever seen anything like this in your career?
No. Obviously, there has been, when I was coaching, various significant events. Hansi Cronje comes to mind in terms of match fixing. Michael Atherton had some dirt in his pocket. So there have been various incidents throughout cricket history, I guess, and this is another one that, you know, dark days, but hopefully what it does do is give Cricket Australia and players and the Players Association, I think they've been very quiet in this at the moment. You know, only recently or 9 months ago, they were very active in their public dispute with Cricket Australia and wanting better conditions for their players, which is fine. But they've been very quiet at the moment in terms of how they sit and where they sit in terms of what's actually going on. But nonetheless, in a sense, the direction going into the future will be, it seems, those two parties need to be very, very close in terms of exactly what you're saying about behaviours, actions, standards, culture, all those sorts of things which really go to make up the way that a team can perform over the long time. And because it's the Australian cricket team, that which the public, sponsors, TV media, etc., look to deliver not only performance, but to deliver that performance fairly, those two bodies need to be very actively and very closely working together on this.
And Jack, this isn't the first ball tampering issue we've seen in cricket history. What's your assessment of this? Can the captain, Steve Smith, come back from this?
Of course, it's not the first incident, but of course, in some ways, that's irrelevant because the one thing, and internationally, you know, Australian sport and sports teams are well known to compete hard but fair, and that and this is a huge blow to it in that sense. I think it's going to be difficult for Steve Smith in the following weeks and months. You know, we've seen the sponsors and we've seen the allegations that have been made directly against him and the evidence that it is. And I suppose the big question is, you know, it's almost outside of the law and outside of the integrity. This was a decision made during a lunchtime break in a test where there are 30 cameras surrounding the field of play. How did they think and what pressure were they under that they thought they could get away with this or that they needed to do this? And I think those are the kind of interesting sporting questions that need to be addressed in this investigation and for Cricket Australia more generally.
John Buchanan, I'd love to get your thoughts on this because I've got to be honest, as I've been reflecting on what this all means, it struck me, and I've discussed it with others, that you know, what kind of pressure are these guys under that they feel necessary to deliver like this, you know, at any cost, at such an outrageous cost, but to do this, to deliver a win, what does that say about the kind of way they feel they need to perform?
Yes, look, at the outset, I would say that just because, you know, you don't feel well or you're under pressure, it gives you an excuse to make decisions that are contrary to the rules of society or the rules of, in this case, sport. So say that at the outset. But having said that, look, they had an incredibly long and emotionally draining test series against England. Even though it seemed like Australia won comfortably, that series was not that comfortable and there was huge expectations that they were carrying there. So that was an incredibly draining series for Steve Smith himself. He was the captain of that and played exceptionally well. So he was on the field an enormous amount of time. So physically and mentally, his platform, if you like, going into the remainder of the summer, was the tank was low. He played poorly through the one-day series. They gave him a short break through the T20 in New Zealand and then thrust into a combative series in South Africa. A combative series not only because they were two very, very good teams, but also there was some rich rivalry in there, and that was exacerbated by the Warner situation in the first test match. That, I think, was an event that would have fragmented the dressing room. I mean, it was probably a dressing room that I think was potentially, from everything that we're talking about already, a little bit fragile. And then with Warner's issue, I think that really potentially fragmented the dressing room. And I think we saw a bit of that outcome right through the second test match. Obviously, they lost that game, but there was issues around Rabada. And then flowing into the third test match, we hear the coach talking about the crowds and so on. But the crowd, and wherever you go around the world, is always on top of you. You know, Australian crowds are always on top of visiting teams. So that's to be expected. But for someone to actually say that they believe the crowd was over the top, I think their minds were off the game. Their minds were taken away from where they needed to be, which was actually about how they played the game. And so to your question, there is incredible amount of pressure on these players because you are under the microscope. You're under the microscope more so now because of the amount of cameras, the amount of social media, the amount of attention on things that are not right about how people play as opposed to how well they play. I mean, in this particular game, Nathan Lyon has just taken 300 wickets, one of the quickest times that an Australian bowler has taken 300 wickets, 77 test matches. Maureen Morkel did the same. Some incredible batting, some incredible bowling. But nonetheless, it's been totally, totally overshadowed by this particular incident. Probably in this case, that to some degree is understandable. But in the main, the pressure comes from just the amount of intrusion into a person's life that elite sport brings. In the end, elite sport is just about winning and losing. Any sport is just about winning and losing. But it is about playing that within the rules of the game.
And Jack, just final question to you. What does Australian cricket need to do to recover from this?
Well, first of all, it has to conduct the investigation as thoroughly as possible, and then we go on to the code of conduct issues, and thereafter a proportionate sanction if appropriate. So that's in the narrow sense is what needs to be done immediately, and thereafter then they have to look at themselves in terms of the integrity of the game and how that manifests itself with its representative team. You know, it's a wider issue for cricket as well. You know, even here in Australia, you're beginning with footy season, the rugby season is beginning. Internationally, the test form of the game is under pressure. You know, you've got a narrow window to promote yourself. And at the weekend, you know, as John rightly says, you know, there are good news stories out there for cricket, but this particular one has dominated. And that is a troubling and worrying one for all of us who like cricket.
Thank you to both of you for your time. This story is going nowhere. I reckon we'll be covering this one for a while. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks very much, Patricia.
Thank you.